Paul speaks of those whose names are in the book of life, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Is your name written there? Is my name written in that book of life? But before we do that, I'm thankful for your presence, and we're glad that you're here. And as Mark has already mentioned, we appreciate your presence. And if you're visiting, we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. When I was in the fifth grade, we lived in Indianapolis, Indiana. And in the fall of the year, I was in a science fair competition. And this was before you could Google, you know, anything online. And somehow I had saw where you could take old newspapers and chop them up in a blender, real fine, like a mush, and then spread that out on some material that would absorb the water and use an iron and iron it. You could make a piece of paper. So the science fair project was recycling paper, taking old newspaper and turning it into paper that you could write on. And I got a blue ribbon for that. And my picture and my name was in the big Indianapolis newspaper, and I thought that was the greatest thing. Have you ever had your name somewhere that you felt was important and you couldn't wait to see it printed there or listed there? Do you remember in high school when you would get the yearbook? What was the first thing you did? You turned to the back where the index was and you ran down there to the R's, Chris Reeves on page 59, 132, you know, and seven, and then you go, remember doing that? We like to see our name in print. We like to see our picture there listed. There are different places in life where maybe our name has shown up. Maybe on the side of a trophy, maybe on a ribbon or a plaque, maybe in the newspaper. But is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I don't know where that, I kept that newspaper article for a while. I don't know where it is now. I think it's gone. The ribbon's gone. Those things will be lost. If we have trophies with our name on it, even if we were able to keep them to the end of our life, which typically we don't, but even if we could, in a box somewhere, Peter says the earth and the works therein are going to be burned up. It's all going to be gone one day. We can't keep the trophies and the ribbons and the newspaper clippings and the yearbooks. But if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that will always be there. And we're going to see in just a moment, it's going to be opened up in the judgment day. All those newspaper clippings and yearbooks, they're all going to be gone. But there's going to be a book opened up, and I hope that our name is written there. We want to talk this morning about the Lamb's Book of Life. We want to talk this morning about that place where, that all-important place where our name needs to be written. There's nothing wrong with having a trophy, or a plaque, or a newspaper clipping, or a yearbook, but that's nothing compared to being a Christian, being a faithful Christian, and having our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not important that we have physical things in life that have our name written on them. That's not important. There are many people that go through life and never have their name on a trophy and never have their name on a plaque. Those things aren't important. Nothing wrong with having them. Nothing wrong with having awards from time to time. But what's important in the judgment day is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's even more important than being in the church directory. We could have a name, our name written in the church directory, and that wouldn't necessarily mean anything one way or the other. We could have our name back there on our mailbox. That wouldn't mean anything necessarily. But is our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's what's important. In Bible times, in any given city or area, citizenship was shown by a name written in a book. A record or a register or a roll was carefully kept to identify whether or not you were a citizen of that particular community. And our citizenship, Philippians 3:20, is in heaven, and God is keeping a roll
in a register, is your name written there? Is my name written there? In just a moment, we're going to sing the song of invitation. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Well-known song. Favorite song. Old-time song. But when we say, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, you're saying that your name's written there and you're going to heaven. Can we honestly say that? That's a big statement, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to suggest that somebody not sing during the invitation song. I'm not going to suggest that. But if our name is not written there, we really couldn't say that, could we, with all honesty? We can't say, I'll be there if I'm not going to be there. So I want us to think about that. Think about the songs that we sing. We sing a lot of songs where we make these statements of fact. And we want them to be true, but make sure that we're living up to what we're saying. I want us to get us to think about that. But when we sing in just a moment, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Well, we'll be there in a sense that we'll all be standing there in the judgment day. That's true. But will our name be on that roll? If not, I want to encourage us to make sure that it is there before we leave this morning. What about God's book of life? I want to learn some lessons this morning about that book. First of all, a record of name exists in heaven. God is making a record of names. And it doesn't matter what we've achieved in this life. It doesn't matter what awards we've gotten or not gotten. It doesn't matter what clubs we've been a part of or sports or business organizations or anything involving our work. It doesn't matter in the judgment day. What matters is our name in this record. A record of names exists, and God is making that record each and every day. Number two, there are many names that will not be recorded in that book. It's not a record of all people who have ever lived. It's a record of only certain individuals. Some won't be there. Some names won't be there. Number three, and this is something that's a reminder for all of us, and that is that sometimes God puts a name in his record, and then he erases it. So a name can be in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God can blot that out. God can erase that. It's not once there, always there. So that's a sobering thought. And then last of all, we're going to see how this book is opened in the judgment day. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about that Lamb's Book of Life. It's kind of neat to have your name in print. It's fun. And to have those childhood memories and look back at those kinds of things. And to look up on the wall and see that shelf there of the trophies and the ribbons and the plaques. But in the judgment day, what matters is our name written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Trophies won't be there. Plaques won't be there. But the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. And our name needs to be written in that book. Let's consider this morning the Lamb's Book of Life. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to look at seven individuals this morning that made reference to this book. And let's begin this morning with Moses. You may recall in Exodus chapter 32, right after the matter of the golden calf and how that Israel had been bowing down to that golden calf and they had been sinning in that particular matter, the people are going to be punished. And Moses, this great individual, there's a lesson in itself right here about Moses, how he wants to intercede and pray for them. He loves his brethren and he doesn't want them to be lost. Look at his prayer in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "You have sinned a great sin. And now I will go unto Jehovah, peradventure I shall make atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto Jehovah and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." And Jehovah said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." And now go lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And Jehovah smote the people because they had made the calf which Aaron had made. So we find, first of all, here this morning, a lesson in that it is sin that is going to keep us out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Not one's educational level, not one's social status, not one's gender, not one's abilities in life in various kinds of ways. It's if we have sin in our life. Do we have that this morning? That we need to repent of and be forgiven of. And notice Moses' attitude here. In verse 31 and verse 32, I don't know if I could say this. This is a lesson in itself. Have me blotted out of the book of life? Wow. It reminds me of Paul's statement in Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He said, I wish that I could be anathema, that is, accursed, so that my brethren could be saved. That's quite a loving, humble, caring attitude. And I don't believe that Moses is overstating the case. I don't think he's just exaggerating. I think he's really saying, I'm willing to be blotted out of the book of life so that my brethren can be saved. That's an entire lesson in itself, a beautiful lesson of love and humility. But what I want to notice here is verse 33. God says, Moses, I'm not going to blot you out. You deserve to be there. I'm going to blot out the one that's got sin in their life. These individuals that have bowed down to this golden calf. God is always fair, isn't he? God is just. God is right. He's not going to keep one in the book who shouldn't be there, or keep one out of the book who should be there. He's just and fair. And so I'm going to punish the ones who do have sin in their life. And so we learn a lesson, and that is that it's sin that keeps us out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Today we hear so much about other kinds of things. We hear about race and gender and economics and unemployment and different kinds of things and issues that we need to deal with and face, certainly so, with biblical principles. But the first and foremost is, do we have sin in our life? And that's what Jesus Christ comes to forgive if we will obey His gospel. Our name is not written there if there's sin currently in our life. And of course, sin is a transgression of God's word. Turn with me to Psalm 69. The psalmist David referred to this book. Psalm 69. Turn with me there. David, in this particular chapter, is talking about, he's crying out to God in prayer because of his adversaries. David had many, Saul and others. And because of all these different adversaries that are attacking him in different kinds of ways, he's praying that God would handle this and take care of this and help him. And so, for example, Psalm 69, verse 21, they gave me gall for my food. This is referenced later with Jesus on the cross and so forth. But look at Psalm 69, verses 27 and 28. He's talking about those who persecute him, verse 26, for they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they tell of the sorrow of those whom thou hast wounded, and iniquity unto their iniquity. And let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of life and not be written with the righteous. There's a second thing that we learn about this book, and that is that this book is a name, a record of names. The righteous are named there. The righteous are named there. Underscore that in your Bible. It doesn't say the popular ones. Young people, it doesn't say the popular ones are named there. It says the righteous are named there. It doesn't say the majority are named there. It doesn't say the cool ones are named there. It doesn't say the in crowd is. It says the righteous are named there. We need to be concerned about being right with God according to His Word. The righteous are named there. There's nothing said about a person's economic status, and there's nothing said about a person's social status and political affiliation.
It says the righteous. There are things today that people use as status symbols. How much you own, what you drive, where you live, how much money you make, what you wear, what crowd you're in, what group you're with. God is looking to see if we are right with Him. If we've obeyed His gospel and if we're living right with Him each and every day. Let them be blotted out of the book of life and not be written with the righteous. That's who's written there. Of course, that raises the question, what does it take to be right? And of course, that's simply obeying God's word and will each day. A record of names exists. Sin keeps us out of this book. Being righteous keeps us in this book. And this morning, our priority and the main purpose that we need to be thinking of is, am I right with God? This is the basic fundamental question that I think gets lost sight of in our modern day society. It's not about what does science say and what do politicians say and what do people think and people feel. Being right with God is the primary purpose and priority that we need to have in our life. Turn with me to Malachi. Malachi makes reference to this all the way at the end of the Old Testament. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. When you close the Old Testament, I find it interesting, out of all of the Old Testament, 39 books out of the Old Testament, there's a lot of material from Genesis to Malachi. There's just a lot of material. But how does God give His final word? Out of everything that's been said, what is His final word? Look at chapter 4 and verse 4. Remember the law of Moses. Just obedience. Out of everything, you could start reading in Genesis and go through Malachi. You're going to read hundreds of things, all kinds of things. Just the bottom line to all of it, at the very end of it is, just remember the law of Moses. Be obedient. Be faithful. Be obedient. And that helps us to understand our priorities today. At the end of the day, we just need to remember God's law and follow it. But look at chapter 3 and verse 16. These are God's people who have come back after the Babylonian captivity. They still have some sin and wickedness that they need to remove from their lives. You can look at different things that they were doing. They were robbing God. Chapter 3 and verse 8, 9, and 10. They weren't bringing the tithe. They were not coming and offering up the sacrifices. And when they did come, chapter 1, verse 13, what a weariness it is. Oh, it's just terrible. We got to come here to worship God. So they still had problems that they needed to iron out in their lives. But not all of them were like that. Look at chapter 3 and verse 16. There was a group of Jews who came back that were faithful to God. And they're described this way. Then they that feared Jehovah spake one with another. One of the best things that we can do as brethren is speak one another and have spiritual conversations to encourage one another. There's nothing wrong with those other kinds of conversations. Phil and I have been discussing recently about March Madness and how that my bracket is blown as of the last couple of days. I had Michigan going all the way and they lost recently. So my brackets are blown. There's nothing wrong with talking about those kinds of things. But here in verse 16, when they spake one with another, I don't think it had to do with sports or the weather or things like that. I think it had to do with spiritual things to build each other up. And we need to be doing that to encourage one another. So they spake one with another, which is good. But look at this. And Jehovah hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him. For them that feared Jehovah and that thought upon His name. Now that phrase right there doesn't mean that they're sitting going, Jehovah. That's spelled J-E-A. Thinking about God's name is not thinking about how it's spelled or thinking about how it's pronounced. It's talking about His character, His person, who He is. And so each day they're fearing God and they're thinking about who God is. Do we do that throughout the day? We're driving along, we're thinking about God and who He is and what He wants for my life. Do we do that? So they fear God. They're thinking about His name, who He is, His person, His character. And a book of remembrance is written for those people, not for anybody else. Not for the ones who think it's a weariness to come worship, chapter 1:13. Not the ones who are trying to rob God and not bring Him the tithe, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. But the ones who are daily obeying God. God is up in heaven writing a book of remembrance for them that feared Jehovah and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith Jehovah of hosts, even my own possession. In the day that I make, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There's a difference in the world between people. All people in the world can be put into one of two categories, Malachi says. Those who fear God and those who don't. Those who serve God and those who don't. And those who fear God and serve Him, a book of remembrance is written before Him. Underscore that. You know, the lesson that we learn from that is that God remembers His people. Have you ever been forgotten? You ever done something at work and the boss forgot that you did that. You didn't get credit for such and such. We get forgotten. We do things and people forget that we've done them. Maybe they don't acknowledge it in the first place, or maybe they do and then later forget it. God does not forget. God knows who His people are, and it's a comfort knowing that God is going to remember those who fear Him. They're not lost to antiquity. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of people that have lived and died, and we don't know their names. God is not like that with us. There are some well-known names like George Washington. There's some well-known names in history that we can go back, and when we study history, we can repeat those names and we can talk about some of the things that they did. But there's thousands and thousands and millions of other people that people don't even know about. They've been lost to antiquity. What about them? It doesn't matter what happens throughout the day. God is going to remember you if you're faithful to Him. And that's a comforting thing. Your neighbors might not. Your co-workers might not care. Your fellow citizens might not care. But God knows who you are. And that's a comfort. And the parents who work hard in raising children, and the spouses who work hard at loving each other, and all that type of thing, God remembers all of that. The world doesn't care. You keep living right because God is going to put your name in a book and He's going to remember that. And so it's a great place to have our name written. But we have to fear Him, and that means obey Him. Respect and reverence God to the point that we obey Him each and every day. And Malachi talks about that, verse 18. Serve Him. You've got to serve Him. Our name is not automatically written there. It's not automatically written there when we're born. It just automatically goes into the book. But when we get old enough to make a choice, we choose to fear God and serve Him, and our name is written there. You know, what's interesting about that is if you read chapter 3, 16 through 18 again, no specific names are mentioned. But God knows the specific names. And it's in His book of remembrance. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh, it burns as a furnace, and all the proud and all the work of wickedness shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Jehovah of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings, and you shall go forth and gamble as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says Jehovah of hosts. There's a coming day of judgment. And if you're on the side of the righteous and not on the side of the wicked, you'll be blessed. The sun, S-U-N, the sun of righteousness, will arise with healing in its wings. You'll be blessed.
God remembers what you're doing each and every day. You won't be lost to antiquity. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Jesus makes reference to this book in Luke chapter 10. If you'll turn with me there.
When Jesus had sent out the 70 to go preach the gospel, he gave them power to cast out demons and to heal individuals. And when the 70 returned, they're excited. Have you ever been excited after completing a mission or a commission or a job or something that's been given to you? You're excited about doing what you were told to do. You accomplished that. You got that done. And there is a level of excitement there. So look at chapter 10 and verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven." That's as the demons were cast out. This is not the devil literally falling from heaven, but as the demons are cast out, Satan is losing his power. And so it's like he is falling as lightning from heaven. He's losing his power. "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the people of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That's what should make you happy. Let me ask you this. What makes you happy? What makes you happy in life? A lot of times what makes people happy in life is just some physical thing. More money or more of this or more of that. We learn a lesson here, and that is that true joy is knowing that your name is written in heaven. That's what's important. So many people are happy over physical things that can easily be taken away. And then at the end of time, all things are going to be burned up. We can't take any of it with us when we die. We can't leave it behind, and it's going to stay. It's all going to be burned up, Peter says, 2 Peter 3:10. The earth and works therein will be burned up. All those physical kinds of things that make us happy, our technology, our phones, and other kinds of things. Jesus is saying, let me tell you where true joy is at. True joy is that you're a Christian and your name is written in heaven. They had gotten off a little bit. They were excited about the fact that they could cast out demons, which was a part of the plan, and lost sight of the real point, and that is, you're a follower of me, you're a disciple, and your name is written in heaven. That's where true joy is all about. Are you truly happy this morning because you're a Christian? And if you were to die today, you would go and be with God in eternity in heaven? That's what should make us happy. And let's never forget that, Jesus says. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not. There's some things we're not to be rejoicing in, but to be rejoicing in what's really important, that your name is written in heaven. Sometimes young people need to be reminded of that. That you're a Christian. Come and obey the gospel. Be baptized into Christ. Live faithfully each and every day. That's what you can be happy about. Not being in the in crowd. Not being with the other. You know, I don't have the latest this and the latest gadget. And my parents don't own this. And I'm not allowed to have that. That's not what's important. But that your names are written in heaven. That's what you rejoice over. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, the scripture reading that Tyrone had earlier. Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul references this book. And we learn some more things about it. We learn some more things about the character and the nature of the individuals that are written in this book. It's not a list of popular people. It's not a list of Fortune 500 people. It's not a list of the top 500 richest persons in the world. We have these lists. Well, you know, I want to be a Warren Buffett. I want to be a Bill Gates. You know, I want to be a Jeff Bezos. I want to be somebody that, you know, this billionaire. There are lists that we have in our society that are lists of names that deal with things that are unimportant. in the big picture, we need to be on God's list, God's book of life. Look at Philippians chapter 4, we learn something else about the nature of individuals who are in this book. Paul says that I exhort Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind, to be unified in the local congregation, work together. Yea, I beseech thee also, begging, true yoke fellow, help these women, for they labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. We learn something else about these names. Not only are they righteous individuals, not only are they God-fearing individuals, but they're hard workers. Be a hard worker in the church. Be a hard worker. God is looking not only for just fearing Him and obeying Him and becoming a Christian and being baptized, but actively working hard after that. Anyone can fill a pew. Anyone can be a bench warmer. Anyone can come and just do a bare minimum. But Paul talks about those whose names are in the book of life are the fellow workers. And the whole context here has been people who work, verses 2 and 3. People who work. Do what you can in the local congregation. We all have different talents. We all have different ages. We have, some of us might have age limitations or physical limitations, but all of us can do something to be active in the local church. If I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and I want it to stay there, I need to be an active worker in the local church. Not just a name on a roster, not just a name in a three-ring binder of a church directory or a name on a mailbox, but I'm actually working and contributing and volunteering. That's the nature of the local church. It's a body with members that work together. You know that we sustain some relationships where we don't have to be an integral part. When you and I go to a restaurant, we pay for a meal. We go in, we pay for the meal. We're buying a service. It's not our responsibility. It's not my responsibility when I go to a restaurant to make sure the bathrooms are clean or the floor is swept. Or the windows are clean. That's really not our responsibility. We're just buying a service. So we sustain those kind of relationships in life. But the local church is not like that. The local church is not where we go in and buy a service. It's used as a body in the New Testament. It's a body. It's a family. There are other words that are used. Those other relationships, we're buying services and other people take care of those things. But in the local church, it's not like going to a restaurant where we're buying a service. The local church is a body, just like your physical body that has different members, fingers and arms and toes and heart and ears and eyes, that all need to work together. It's a different relationship. So while we're out in those other relationships, we don't have to feel compelled to do anything other than just go in, sit down, and enjoy the meal. But the local church is different. And so let's make sure that we understand that and that we're working hard. We go to the elders and say, please put me down for such and such. I'm going to put my name on the board back there and fill in something to do that I can do. And young Christians can do things just as easily as older Christians. And when we learn to do those when we're young, then we'll be doing them when we're older. I ran across an article recently talking about the church of tomorrow. We use that phrase a lot. And the young people surveyed were saying, we're not being used now, we're not doing anything now. And so we won't be the church of tomorrow. We've got to be active now. And so we learned that those whose names are in the book of life are those who are hard workers. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. The author of the book of Hebrews refers to this book in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, talking about Christians, the Old Testament Jews, when they came out of Egypt, they came to Mount Sinai. But the Hebrew writer says, you Christians have come to another mount. It's called Zion, and it's a spiritual mountain. Look, verse 22, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable host of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. We learn something important, and that is that when we're born again, Jesus says in John 3:5, born of water and spirit, the firstborn. Our name is written in heaven, and that's more important than anywhere on earth where our name might be written. That trophy, that plaque, that yearbook, that newspaper article. Our name needs to be written in heaven, enrolled in heaven. Some of you who have different kinds of work, there might be a place in the building where there's a employee of the month or something like that. And there's a plaque there, and maybe your name is there or your picture is there, and that's kind of neat. And you should be recognized for the good work that you're doing. But what's important is our name not on a wall somewhere, but is it in heaven? And we need to be born again through water and the Spirit in order to be enrolled there. Remember, we're going to sing, and the Hebrew writer uses that word enrolled. We're going to sing in just a minute when the roll is called up yonder. You remember that in school where they went down through the, you know, A to Z? So-and-so here? Yes. So-and-so here? Yes. There's going to be one of those in the judgment day. And we want to make sure that our name is written there. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. John refers to this. And John tells us something very important about the nature of this book that we need to be mindful of. And that is that our name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then God can turn around and erase it. God can turn around and blot it out. So that's why once we become a Christian, once we're baptized into Christ, we have to live faithfully all the way till the time that we die. We have to overcome anything that comes along our way. Revelation 3:5, he that overcomes shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. There would be no reason for Jesus to say that if it was never going to be blotted out to start with. There is the possibility of apostasy. There is the possibility of falling away. And so one's name recorded can later be blotted out. The Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't teach once you're in the book, you're always in the book. We have to overcome. And when we overcome, Jesus says, I will not blot your name out. We have to be faithful. We have to be active like we've talked about. Our name can be blotted out. We have to live faithfully each day. And John says something else. We've already seen that when we have sin in our life, Moses said, God said to Moses, it's the ones who have sin in their life, they're not going to be in the book. So if we have unforgiven sin this morning, that'll keep us out. If we lack commitment, that's what we're talking about here in Revelation 3. If we don't overcome, we're not truly dedicated. Jesus said, he who overcomes, I will not blot his name out. Overcome temptation. Overcome inactivity. Overcome sin. Overcome lukewarmness. Whatever it is we need to overcome. We've got to be truly committed and dedicated. And then turn with me to Revelation 22. John says something else about this relationship, that if we take from God's Word, our name can be blotted out. In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, if any man adds unto the Word of God, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. We cannot have a part of that place where God's people are. We can't add to the Word of God, and we can't take away from the Word of God, which is often done in the various religions today. Our name can be blotted out, and we need to remember that. But turn with me to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. There's another place here where John references this book. And he tells us the nature of the people who are not in this book.
if the righteous are listed there and our name needs to be listed there, what about everybody else? What kind of people are they? Look at Revelation 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. This is talking about civil government, the Roman civil government. Shall worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been slain. And the same thing in chapter 17 and verse 8. Worldly living, brethren, living like the world, doing the things of the world. John says their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come out of the abyss and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast, how that he was and is not and shall come about. These are people that are not New Testament Christians. They're the people out in the Roman Empire that won't obey the gospel. Their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. And they just simply worship the beast. They just simply do what society tells them to do. Look at chapter 21 and verse 17. Chapter 21. I'm sorry, verse 27. Chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. We can't have uncleanness in our life. We can't be like the world around us. And then, last of all, and the lesson is yours, we need to remember in John chapter 20 that this will be a place and a book that will be opened in the judgment day. Turn with me to John 20, and then we'll close. This book is going to be present in the judgment day. You know what's amazing about this thing is? Let's read Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. God is going to have His book there. He determined the content of it. It's called the Bible. There's going to be another book there. Listen, we determine the content of it. That's amazing. There's going to be a Bible there that God determined 100% of its content. There's another book there, the Lamb's Book of Life. We determine if our name is in there or not. That's impressive. And that's why we need to be right with God today. Verse 12, the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, God's Word, the Bible, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, listen, he was cast into the lake of fire. If our name is there, we're blessed in heaven. If our name is absent, we're cursed in hell. A lake of fire. But you and I determine the content of that book. You and I determine if our name is there or not. That's an amazing thing. You can't alter this. You have no way of changing this right here. But the other book that's going to be opened, you have very much in your power to determine what's written inside of that. Where your name, will my name, be written there. So as we close this morning, I want us to ask the question, when we sing this song in just a moment, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That means your name is written. If you've not been baptized into Christ, your name is not written there. If you've been baptized into Christ and have fallen away in some way, your name is not written there. We learn that from Revelation 3:5. Our name's been blotted out if we have not been overcoming and living faithfully. Let's make the change that we need to make so that we walk out this morning having our name written in the Lamb's book of life, because we know we've obeyed that gospel properly. We're living faithfully each day. Don't just think it's written there. Don't just guess that it might be written there. Don't just suppose that it might be written there. Don't just presume that it might be written there, but know it. Know it based upon your obedience to the Word of God. You know, it's not based upon physical lineage. It's not based upon ancestry. It's not based upon the religions of men. It's not based upon being a good person. It's not based upon economic status or social status. It's based upon, have we feared God, serving God, we're righteous, we've obeyed God. If you need to remove sin this morning, do that. Be righteous. Be God-fearing. Be a disciple. Be a hard worker. Be a member of the church whose name is recorded in heaven, and overcome anything that comes along the way to stay faithful. Let's stand and sing this song, and let's encourage you to have your name written in that roll when that roll is called. Let us help you to do that this morning as we stand and as we sing.